It's a joy to be in front of you guys all this morning. Once again, my name is Brett. My wife in the back just walked in. Her name is Faith. We traveled from all the way from Malaysia. And how many of you guys could pinpoint where Malaysia is on a map? Not bad. About where we were. Honestly, we didn't know where it was until we took a vision trip there from Thailand. So Malaysia, you guys maybe are more familiar with Thailand, Indonesia, where those countries are. Malaysia is in that corner of the world. So we've been in Malaysia for 7 years. Before that, we were in China for 3 years. We arrived there in 2015. But we had to leave China unexpectedly in 2018 because of a crackdown that the Chinese government was doing on missionary presence there in 2018. So that's what led us to Malaysia. Now, when I was your age, I had no desire, no idea, no plan of becoming a missionary. So I thought I would give you just a little taste of what it's like by going through some of the joys and some of the sorrows that we faced living overseas. To give you a glimpse of what it's like. So it started off, I think almost any missionary would say, one of the hardest parts of living overseas is being away from family. Some of you guys might recognize Steve and Julia Blanchard. They've been part of RBC for years. Their daughter is Faith. That's who I married. So I married into this family here. My family is there on the right. They came out to Malaysia last year. So that's all of us staying together there. But one good thing is that Jesus says, if you leave your father, mother, brothers, everything that you have here, you'll receive 100 times more, both in this world and the world to come. So we have family that is in Malaysia with us, brothers and sisters in Christ, that we get to serve alongside as well. Our kids, we have 3 kids that are 7, 5, and a baby, and they develop friendships with people all over the world as well. So, yeah, God always provides for our needs. The second, there's our 2 oldest kids. Harper's now 7. I don't know, she's probably 3 or 4 there. And then Hudson, he's 5. That's us in the jungle doing a jungle walk. Malaysia is a jungle, pretty much. We're at 3 degrees north of the equator. So it literally never gets, like, the temperature that we're experiencing today, actually it's a bit warmer today, but it's never been below 61 degrees in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Every day, the high is about 90, and it's humid, and then the lows get to about low 70s. So that's something that we do miss here. Being here at this time of the year is just it's beautiful here, and we're really enjoying being outside. But an adventure or an advantage of that is we get to experience jungle life. We were down by the Potomac River yesterday, and my daughter asked, is there going to be monkeys here? So you just get to see different wildlife and vegetation there. Living overseas also leads to a life of uncertainty at times. As I mentioned, we lived in China and were forced out. We came here to America to have our first child, Harper. And then after returning to China, 2 days later, we got a call from our leadership at Pioneers, who we were serving with, saying that we needed to get on a plane, the next plane available, and get back to American soil. And that they would tell us why when we landed back in America. And so we had a baby. We just had to pack up our stuff and head out. What was happening was they were doing rounds of investigation of different church planters around China. And our name would have been included in some of the electronics that they confiscated. So our organization had us evacuate. We returned home for 4 months to America. They let us go back to China. But then two months later, another wave of investigation happened where I would have been named as an underground church planter. And so we found that out at 9:30 at night, and we were on a plane heading to the airport the next morning at 7 a.m. Again, so we just had to pack up. We pulled an all-nighter, packed up our stuff, and left. So it's hard, but you get through it. In some ways, like when you're living overseas and especially living in a close context, you kind of feel a little bit like Jason Bourne, using code words, you have to flee the country, all that kind of stuff. So it's not all bad. It's a life of adventure, It's also very difficult. And so that's the times that we had to flood pictures of our kid on the plane there. If you guys think that's gross, wait till the next one. So you also, it's uncomfortable living in a foreign culture or context. So you're constantly speaking in a different language. So that's my wife and I with some Chinese friends eating food. We would do what's called Luke 10 trips. So in Luke 10, Jesus sends out the disciples to go out and find people of peace. And so we would do people of peace hunts or searches. So we go out into the mountains where the Tibetans live, and we would hope that someone takes us into their house and welcomes us so that we could share the message with them. And so this is inside one of those houses. We were hiking among the mountains and meet someone, and they say, hey, come in, have a meal with us. And so we start to talk with them, share with them, and usually stay overnight and then go on there. And if we feel led to stay, then we'll stay. If we don't, then we hike on to the next place. So that's the middle picture. The picture on the right is a pig that was slaughtered for one of our meals that we had with a local family there. So I don't know if you guys have ever heard the sound of a pig being slaughtered, or yeah, it's terrible. It's one of the worst screeching, squealing sounds that you'll ever hear. And so you have, you live through some uncomfortable things overseas. Yeah, some of you are saying that your sister sounds like that pig. So as I said, we have a worse one coming. I don't know if you notice a resemblance, because I don't have a beard anymore, but that is my mouth. So I got diagnosed with tongue cancer 2 years ago. That's why I sound a little bit different than I used to. I had a third of my tongue cut off to remove the cancer. And then we thought that got it, but the cancer snuck out to the floor of my mouth. And I had to have that treatment done, where they put wires from the bottom of my jaw up through the top of my tongue. I had 13 wires through my mouth that they shot radiation up into to kill the cancer. That did take care of it for good. And then I also had chemo and radiation to go through. I got a PET scan done in February to show that I'm now cancer-free, so praise God for that. Thank you. Yeah, it was stage 4 cancer, so there's a better chance I was going to die within 5 years than live. And so no parent of 3 children wants to hear that news and go through it. But it was actually through the prayers of RBC and the people here that God healed me, along with the medical treatment that I received. And so I'm very grateful to this body of Christ for praying for me. And never doubt that your prayers do have an impact for people that are praying for people overseas as they serve there. So I started out with some of the sorrows of living overseas. Now I'm going to get to the joys. Some of the greatest joys I've experienced is just knowing that I'm doing God's will for my life. As I was staying in the back there, I was actually reflecting on my life a little bit, thinking back to this stage of life that you guys are in right now. And I'd say that that's probably one of my biggest regrets, was not living for the kingdom as much as I could when I was you guys' age. I thought, man, this is the time of my life where I can experience life. I can do what I want, and I'm young, I'm free. But I look back at it and said, I could have done that, but doing it for God's kingdom. I'm young, I'm free, I can live for his kingdom as much as I can, as boldly as I can, and God can incredibly use that. And so please don't leave the stage of your life with regret. Living on mission for God's kingdom is one of the most fun and adventurous things that you can do with your life. And I would say especially even more so at a young age if you live boldly for his kingdom and you share his message with your friends, and that you live a holy and set apart life for the King and Savior Jesus. The picture on the right there is just being able to interact with Tibetan monks. Like, you living overseas, you get to do things that you just wouldn't normally get to do in most life, that you would get to do over here. So it's really a life of adventure, and there's no better peace in your heart that you can have than doing God's will. Another great joy is getting to meet God's people. So on the left there, that's in Kathmandu, Nepal, and some of the faithful brothers that we get to work with there. The two younger guys that you see in the back there, they were reaching out specifically to Tibetans there in Kathmandu. And then the two on the right that are darker skinned, they are Nepali church planting leaders that are leading a vision for seeing Nepal reach. So those are some of our ministry partners. On the right there is a picture of a training of some Indian brothers that we have working among Muslims working in India. And it's a great joy to get to meet some of these servants that God has around the world. I keep mentioning the word adventure, and life is an adventure living overseas, not only for me, but also for my family. The picture on the left is in the middle of Tiger Leaping Gorge. That's, I don't know if you can see it, but standing right there, so you can see just a vast expanse, incredible three-day hike there in China. So if you guys like the outdoors, you'll love China. I mean, there's so many places around the world to be able to go. Again, it's hard to see. That's my daughter there in the midst of that ball jumping place. That's in Japan, Tokyo, Japan, a really cool museum that's there. And then my son is there. That's also in Japan on an island there in the midst of a moss-covered forest. So, again, if you like the outdoors, you'll love living overseas. So I mentioned I love my kids living overseas. That's my daughter there. I can't remember what birthday that is, but she's just surrounded by friends, our local community there, and getting to live life over there. And that's my daughter now, closer to the age she is with one of her local friends, Shasha. And then finally, being a part of God's global mission. So just, I don't know how much you guys have covered as far as God's heart for the nations from Genesis to Revelation, but it is probably the key thread that goes throughout scriptures of God created all these different variety of people, all these different people groups. God loves all these different people groups. And he has called people to go out to reach and engage them. And then in the Revelation, we see the picture of the culmination of this, where all nations and languages and peoples and tribes are gathered before his throne, worshiping him. And so I don't know if you guys have seen worship from other languages, other countries of the world, but man, it's very rare where I feel more privileged, more special to be able to see how God's people worship around the world. And so to be a part of his mission and to be able to see those things and get a picture, a glimpse of heaven looking like that, it's a picture that excites me unlike any other. And so I would love for you guys to be able to experience that. The picture on the left there is a play that we saw in China that celebrates some of the different people groups of China. And the picture on the right is actually an Indian church playing brother. The main church planning that I strategy that I use now, he was actually the one that trained me and several others. And so it's a beautiful thing to be woven into the fabric of God's global picture and what he's doing overseas. So we are focused on Tibetans that live in Tibet. Tibet used to be its own kingdom. It used to be its own country, or call it if you will. But China invaded it in the 1950s and has since ruled over it since then. So one of the major barriers, I'm going to go through five major barriers that are the main reasons why the Tibetans remain unreached to this day. So the first one is geopolitical. Tibet is a part of China now, and China heavily restricts access to Tibet. If you want to go to China, you get a visa to China. If you want to go to Tibet, you have to get a visa to China, and you have to get a special permit to go to Tibet. If you go to Tibet, which my wife and I did in 2014, 2015, you will be heavily watched. You'll have a tour guide that's approved by the Chinese government. You'll see military everywhere and cameras everywhere watching everything you do. So getting gospel access to the Tibetans is very difficult to do geopolitically. It's also very difficult spiritually because of the spiritual oppression that the Tibetans are under and the demonic system that they believe in. So you may have heard of Tibetan Buddhism. Maybe you think of it as a peaceful meditation thing. I had a thought there that I might sit there and try to sit there in that position to meditate for you guys, but I thought better of it. So if you think of Tibetan Buddhism, don't think of peaceful meditation. Don't explore it as a potential way to receive inner peace or healing. At the root of it, at the core of it, is a heavily demonic religion. Another barrier for the gospel reaching the Tibetans is linguistic. Have any of you guys tried to learn Chinese? Anybody? You have? How is it? No, it's hard. It's very hard. It takes dedication. What we ended up doing was just throwing ourselves into a small city in China where they don't speak English, and we said, all right, we got to learn it. So if you do that, it's a lot easier way to learn it, but it's very difficult. If you want to reach the Tibetans, you probably have to learn Chinese and Tibetan if you want to reach them in their heart language. So you're looking at about 5 years of pretty intense language study along the way. Culturally, Tibetans are very different than we are. And so I look at your faces, and I could feel pretty familiar if we were to meet and chat, have a conversation. It would probably go pretty normally. But here I'm meeting some Tibetan ladies that maybe I was the first white face or foreign face that they've ever seen. I believe I was the first foreign person that they've ever seen that was hairy. So this is a video of them discovering what a hairy person feels like. And then this one got a little bit curious here at the end, and whoop. I was not expecting that. So when you cross cultures, you get to experience different things like that happen that just bring a little joy and laughter to life. The final barrier that I mentioned that has led to the Tibetans not having much access to the gospel is geographic. So the average elevation of the Tibetan plateau where Tibetans live is 14,000 feet. Have any of you guys climbed a 14er? Anybody raise your hand? You have. What's it like breathing up there?
Not fun.
It's very difficult. Sometimes people need oxygen tanks as they go up there. So we're not built for that. The Tibetans are, but we're not built for that. And so it makes it very difficult to live up on the Tibetan plateau. They also live nomadically because they're high elevation. And so it makes it difficult to be up there. And us lowland people aren't built for that. So, it just makes it hard. So you have to make special considerations for that. I also included a picture of my wife on a yak because that's what you do up at 15,000 feet. You ride yaks in the middle of the plateau. All right, so before we dive into that, I just wanted to give you guys a little glimpse of some of the joys and sorrows that we've experienced living overseas, and also the difficulties of reaching Tibetans. Some of the things that I'm doing right now, I don't know if any of you guys have learned to build apps or websites or using some different no-code tools or AI to build some of those. I'm working on apps of Tibetan testimonies. There are some Tibetans that have come to faith, and this summer I built an app that has 20 different Tibetan testimonies that have been translated into English, Chinese, and Tibetan. I'm also adding audio to those using AI voices, and our Tibetan partners will be doing some recordings of that. I've also worked on a website in Chinese to help with church planning training, to train our local Chinese national partners in how to plant churches among the people. I also work on other apps for evangelism and discipleship and leadership training. So those are different ways that we're helping to reach Tibet from outside of Tibet, from Malaysia. The other thing we're doing is instead of going into China to train people, we are pulling Chinese people out, some of our leaders that we have there, and doing some training with them from Malaysia or different countries around China, then sending them back into China to see Tibet reach through that. So those are just a couple ways that we are looking to reach Tibet from outside of Malaysia. But I wanted to take the next few minutes and just ask, leave it open to some Q&A. And should I go ahead and go to that slide there? Yep. Oh, you have a question? Or, okay, yeah, go for it. Let's go. Let's go. Oh, go back. All right. So many. I'm thinking in particular of China. So it's true. In China, we lived in a small town. It was about a mile high. It was a remote village. Just everything that you see when you walk out the door. Like, it's to kill it. They kill a chicken, and then to get the feathers off, they'll use a blowtorch and to defeather it. And so just some of the shocking things that you see. You see the pig killed. We were given a frog the first day at the market. Someone just came up to us and like, oh, you're a foreigner. Welcome. Here's a frog. And like every day you walk out the door, it's a new discovery, a new challenge. We now currently live in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, which is a big global city of about 12 million. There's a lot more familiar to here. We have all the modern conveniences, skyscrapers, everything like that. So the big culture shock came in China, and it was fun to experience it, honestly. Yeah.
What animal is that on the
way? A yak. A yak. Yeah, they only grow up that high. You also see Tibetan mastiffs. Has anybody heard of a Tibetan mastiff? They're huge, huge beasts. Amazing to see. Do the monkeys come up to you in the forest? You would think, you asked that, and the reason I laugh is because you think it'd be cute, but it sometimes can be terrifying. Because they can be very aggressive, especially if you have food. So they'll come up, and it hits their teeth at you. And so we think of them as these cute, cuddly things, but they are cute to see from afar.
Have you ever cuddled with a monkey?
Have I cuddled with a monkey? I have a picture on my phone of me kind of like, face to face with a monkey, so I've been that close, but I haven't hugged them. Yeah, yeah. So the question is, how much paranoia is there over there? I would say it's growing because China has increasingly been cracking down on missionaries. You do have threats from them monitoring your electronic activity, so when you're texting people, you don't know what the Chinese government is seeing. You have threats of moles that can be within your group. You have threats of people that can fake conversion and kind of be welcomed in and almost become a spy. But here's the thing. You can go through your whole life, if you live in China, always being worried and never do anything. And then you come home and you realize, I never did anything. The other way to live is just to say, I'm going to assume that some white family living in this remote small town of China, I'm going to assume that the Chinese government knows who we are and what we're doing, and we're just going to go for it until they tell us to stop. So there's kind of two ways to do it, but the only way that leads to potential fruit and lasting fruit there in China is to do the second option. If you stay sheltered and stay hidden and stay afraid, you're just never going to get anywhere with it. And so there's always going to be danger all around you. But you have no other choice if you want to do what God's called you to do. Have I been to the Great Wall of China? So I haven't yet. We were mostly in the western part of China. And here's another kind of fun adventure thing. As part of our visa, we had to leave the country every 60 days, every 2 months. And so we had to take what are called visa runs. We leave the country and then come back in. But my wife and I, we love to travel. And so we got to see lots of the different countries all around China. It was really part of the work that we had to do to be there. So we've gotten to see lots of the world and lots of Asia, but I haven't been to the Great Wall of China yet. So what I call my former life, I was a civil engineer. I studied civil engineering at Purdue and then moved to Dallas to become a civil engineer. It was down there I got involved in a great church that the concept of eternity really pressed hard on my heart. And so what led me to the field is an equation, and I'm going to test all y'all's math right here. So is that groans or excitement? I can't tell. Excitement. All right. I wish I had a prize to whoever can solve this. The equation is 79 divided by infinity. Whoa, those are some fast hands. All right, your hands are... Dude, nice. I didn't learn this until like college. That's amazing. All right, so 79 divided by infinity. Why did I pick that? Yeah, what? No, it is zero. So on the top, you have a number, any number it can be. On the bottom, you have infinity. So it's a massive number. So anything compared to infinity is going to be zero. So why did I pick that? 79 is the average life expectancy, 79 years that you will live to, we all will live to. Infinity is, you could call it our life expectancy in heaven. It's forever. And so what does that say about our life here on earth compared to our life in eternity? It's really nothing. And so if we have one chance at this life that's pretty much nothing, it's here, it's a vapor, it's a mist, what should we spend it doing? In my 20s, I learned about underage people groups, that there's places around the world that don't have access to the gospel like the Tibetans. And God was just telling me, if there's anything that you can do in your life, if it's the most meaningful, most worthwhile for me, now there's other ways to do this, living on mission for God's kingdom, but for me, the most worthwhile way to spend my life, this short blip, the zero of a life that I have here, is to work and serve among underage people groups and trying to bring them access to the gospel. So that was the main thing that God used to call me overseas, was when I looked at my life in light of eternity and messed up with underage people groups. I saw a hand. I saw this one first here. So the question, we had to evacuate twice and return here to America. Was I at risk at going to prison? The first round of investigations that happened in the northwest part of China, they were bringing people in our organization and detaining them and threatening them if they didn't cooperate with 10 years of prison time there. So that was a threat. Our partners or our people in our organization did cooperate, so they were released, but they had to leave the country immediately. Our leadership said the reason they pulled us out was to prevent that from happening so that we didn't have to make that decision. So we were pulled out in the hopes that eventually down the road we would be able to return years later. And earlier this year, that picture I showed you guys in Tiger Leaping Gorge was my first time back into China. I went earlier this year in May and was able to get in and didn't have any issues. So hopefully I will be able to keep going back. Okay. So what's the grossest thing I've ever eaten? I would say chicken brain is probably the worst that I can think of. And you're doing, they like... The Chinese will give you the chicken, and it's like the best thing. The Chinese believe that whatever part of the body you eat, that part gets better. And so if you eat the brain of an animal, your brain gets better. If you eat the eyes, your eyesight gets better. And so they want to give that to you as an honor. The second part, we'll let you stew on that for a little bit. The second part of the question was, what's life like for our family traveling back and forth? And honestly, our kids like it. They enjoy it. It's kind of a weird thing for our kids because they've been to so many countries. They talk about Singapore as if it's like next door. They're like, oh, we should just go back to America and don't realize how far or anything like that. So they're kind of growing up as if the world is their oyster and they can kind of go anywhere and do anything and don't really know why. We travel so much and what they've been privileged to do. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So the Tibetan people are historically Buddhist. What is a typical response? I'd say they're normally very respectful. It will depend on how exposed they've been to other things and depending on what, how much outside influence they've had. So there's some Tibetan groups that they don't have the word God in their language. like in a way that we picture God as a creator God that created the world and is kind of overseeing the world. So some of the people working among those Tibetans, they need to even just start there to be able to share. Some people have heard of Jesus. Many Tibetan Buddhists, especially the monks, have heard of Jesus, and they have respect for his power and authority, but they're almost kind of afraid of it. But we're trying to develop things that will pique that interest, that will intrigue them, and say, hey, even though your monks and everybody tells you not to go really discover the power of Jesus, here's why he's so powerful. And so some of the people that have been saved have been discovered just the power of Jesus, and they've also been saved by learning that there is a creator God and hearing his story of how he created humanity, loves humanity, and wants to redeem humanity. But I would say oftentimes the most common response we've seen is that Satan has blinded the minds of the unbelievers, and so we often just get kind of like, and moving on. So those are the different responses. Confirming the mission as in, like, seeing, like, how we see God using it, maybe?
Seeing God work?
Yeah, yeah. The app of Tibetan Testimonies, these two I've developed just within the last few months, and some are still under development. So I haven't been widely tested yet, but when I shared the Tibetan app of testimonies with the Tibetan brother, Kampa brother, in Nepal, he instantly saw a vision for it. Because Tibetan believers are so isolated, there's so few of them, and they live so far apart, that for them to be able to hear stories of other Tibetan believers that are like them is deeply encouraging to them. And so the goal of that app is to strengthen their faith, and also for believers to be able to share with the non-believers and say, hey, just because you're Tibetan doesn't mean you have to be Buddhist, that there is another way, and that actually to be Tibetan in your heart, the best way to do that is to follow Jesus, because he created you, he created your culture, and wants to redeem that. And so that's one way. Another app I created that shares creation to Christ in video format. It's using someone else's content, but just when we sent that to the people working among those Amdo Tibetan people, it was highly received and being like, yes, this is what we need to be able to get the gospel. People have been using SD cards in the past, and those are just becoming outdated and more difficult, and the Chinese government sees it as a threat whenever you're passing out, versus if I can just send you a link to a website or an app to download, that's a lot easier to transmit in Tibetan within China. Yes, you're hearing it right now, my speech. Oh, yes, excuse me, is there long-term effects of my cancer treatment? And having a third of my tongue removed has made my speech challenging. Getting chemo and radiation to my mouth has killed my salivary glands, and so my mouths are very dry, and so that's why I have to carry water with me everywhere. So that's been difficult. Another difficult part is the radiation killed some of my jawbone. And so when your jawbone dies, it can't support gum tissue. And so that bone then becomes exposed in my mouth. And so I have exposed bone. And when you have exposed bone in your mouth, it becomes jagged. And then when your tongue rubs against the jagged bone, it develops sores. And so I have to go in every few weeks and get my jawbone sanded down. So they use like a thing. Yeah, that's how it goes. So yeah, there are some long-term impacts. But now that I'm cancer-free, I'm trusting God. When I first got diagnosed with cancer at 40, I felt in my heart I was supposed to pray and ask God for 50 years of healthy living. And so right now I'm 42, and so I'm trusting God for 48 more years of healthy living, although it is difficult. Eating is another major challenge for me as well. So, yeah, but I'm happy to be alive. What was the hardest challenge of all? Definitely the cancer treatment. Yeah, it was brutal. I showed you a picture of the treatment. I didn't show you the after effects, but I had sores all over my mouth. And, yeah, it was really difficult. How old are my kids now? Okay. Yeah, good questions. How old are my kids at the time of evacuating China or cancer or... I'll just tell you how old they are now. My oldest daughter is 7. My oldest son is 5. And we have a baby named Noah, who's 8 months old now. How are their interactions with other kids? We live in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia now. And in KL, they actually speak English pretty much everywhere. And so that's made it very easy for them to develop friendships from people, with people from all around the world. And then living overseas also allows them to interact with different generations pretty frequently. So, yeah, we've got lots of adults that love our kids, and our kids love them, and have different aunties and uncles around. So, yeah, thank you.
Hey, Toby. Well, thank you. Yeah, let's give Brett a round of applause, please. Excellent name choice for that third one also.
Baby Noah.
Great name. But guys, I want you guys to remember what Brett said today. And just remember, if you were there in the first service too, because I know they record there too. He had some really great things that he shared both with you all and in the first service. And some of the things like he didn't want to just know about God. He wanted to experience what it meant to know, like know in an experiential way and to follow him. And as you can see, it's adventurous. It's not boring. Certainly not boring following God. And that this is something that we want you to know, whether it's here or whether it's somewhere else in the world, following this God. He's literally going to a people who worship death, and he's bringing them the message of life. And for people who live here, they whether they knowingly worship death or whether they are just living in spiritual death, we have that same opportunity to go out into our context and to share the same good news that Brett and Faith do. And so, again, thank you for sharing that, Brett. Yeah. If you wouldn't mind, if I pray for you and and Todd as well. And we're praying for you, Faith, too, okay? I know you're in the back there, but let me just pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for what you are doing all around the world and what you have done and are continuing to do through Brett and Faith and their faithfulness to you as servants, Lord. And we see, we've heard testimony of the challenges and of the arrows of the enemy seeking to sideline them. And yet you have been faithful and you continue to support them. And I just pray that you would continue to give them favor in the eyes of the people that they're around, that you would bring the gospel of your son, Jesus Christ, to all the world. And we just pray for their blessing. We pray here as well for this group, that we all would be those who don't just want to know about you, but want to know you and to make you known. We ask this in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.